And now the gospel reading from the book of Luke. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And there was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. As you all know, today is the celebration of the feast of Christ the King. And I confess to you that this Sunday always sits a little bit oddly for me every year. And it sits especially oddly for me this year. Why are we celebrating a Christ the King Sunday when so many millions of us just showed up for not one but two No King's Saturdays? Why do we have a Christ the King Sunday? Why do we need one? Those are good questions, and I'm glad you asked. I intend to try to answer them. But first, let me tell you why I participated in the No Kings Saturday. From the very beginning, in the Bible, kingship was warned against as a very bad idea. Originally, Israel had judges, but the people of Israel, well, they wanted a king. They wanted to be like all of the other nations which had a king. So they clamored for the establishment of a monarchy. And that is when Samuel, the old priest, warned the people. "You think now that you want a king, but when you get one, you won't want one at all. You won't want it because of what the king is going to do to you. He will take your sons and conscript them into his army and make them run into battle in front of his horses. And he will take your daughters and do whatever he wants to with them, making them servants and slaves at best, and concubines and prostitutes at worst. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and your livestock, and he will give them to his servants to serve his purposes. And you will cry out on that day to the Lord, because you will regret ever having thought that what you wanted was a king. But by then, Samuel said, it will be too late. You think a king will be your salvation, but in actuality, a king will be your undoing. War and wealth and their ways with women, that is what the priest Samuel warned the people that kings want. And that is why, well, I think it was fitting that it was we clergy, we priests, who were asked to lead the processional of 8,000 people at the No Kings March last month. Samuel, the priest, warned the people about kings long ago, and we priests still warn the people today. And what about Jesus? Well, you may recall that in the book of John, when the people came and wanted to make him king, Jesus explicitly refused to accept the crown. Everywhere he went, the people around him kept calling Jesus, "Son of David, Son of David, the great king of Israel." But did you know that never once Jesus referred to himself with that title? He called himself Son of Humanity, but not once Son of David. Just to make sure I was right about that, I asked AI. And it said it was so. So it must be true. Though Jesus accepted others calling him king, he himself never called himself a king. And when asked point blankly at the end of his life by Pontius Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus gave the governor, well, what I think is an ambiguous answer. "You say so," he said. "You say that I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." Of course, most of the disciples did not understand this. They wanted Jesus to be a king in and of this world. They wanted Jesus to be their king and to rule the world. King of the hill, children play on the playground. Adults play also. The disciples played too. They could not conceive that the hill where the coronation would come would be a place called Golgotha. A couple of Jesus' disciples, the brothers James and John, once had the temerity to ask Jesus if they could sit at his side, one on his right, one on his left, when he came into his glory. They wanted the best seats by his throne. The other disciples were all defended by this ask, but only because, well, they wanted to sit there too. They all wanted the seats of honor when Jesus came into his kingdom, but James and John made the mistake of being the ones to speak it out loud. Later, biblical editors, embarrassed by the behavior of these two brothers, tried to blame their request on their mother. That's an old trick. Blame Eve, blame your mother. Regardless of whoever it was that asked, Jesus answered that it was not for him to decide who it would be that would be at his right and his left when he came into his glory. And it was an extraordinary irony. We know now that it was neither James nor John nor any of the other disciples, but rather two criminals who would be at Jesus' left and right when he came into the full glory of his kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, one of the two criminals said. And truly today you will be with me in paradise, Jesus answered. A king? Yes, but not of this world. Not with his crown made of thorns and throne of a cross. So what then to make of this Christ the King Sunday? Well, let me tell you that it is not at all intended to be a day for promoting theocracy or Christian nationalism or monarchical rule, not at all. Rather, let us remember that the Feast of Christ the King was first instituted 100 years ago this very year by Pope Pius XI as a rebuff against the rising tide of authoritarianism and secular nihilism that was soon to swallow all of Europe and the globe. In 1925, Mussolini had just taken over Italy. Hitler published Mein Kampf in Germany. And the racist, xenophobic, and very anti-Catholic Ku Klux Klan reached 4 million members in America. In fact, they marched on Washington with 40,000 of those members that very same summer. So then, at the end of that year, Pope Pius proclaimed the Feast of Christ the King with his encyclical, Quas Primas, saying this: while men and nations far from God rush to ruin and death through the fires of hatred and fratricidal struggles, the Church of God carries on her work of nurturing and fostering generation after generation of men and women dedicated to Christ, faithful and subject to Him in His earthly kingdom, and called by Him to eternal bliss in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, while nations rage, the Church of God commits itself to Christ. And while the kings of this world lord themselves over the kingdoms of this earth, the Church of God renews its commitment to the only one whom we proclaim King and Lord over all our lives and all this earth and all of the cosmos, now in this age and also in the age that is to come. Christ was a king, but not of this world. This world pushed him out of this world. It pushed him off of that hill called Golgotha. But let me ask you, who better to crown a king than the one who would not be king? And who better to live and reign on the throne of judgment than the one who died on the cross of love? Christ is enthroned on a tree of lynching, His crown made of thorns and His scepter a reed. Christ is despised, yet He is still loving. His last words a prayer: Father, forgive their misdeeds. This is our King. The king who would not be king. And with all due respect to all other authorities, for Christians, there is none higher. For the Church of God, there is no king but the King of Kings, and no Lord but the Lord of Lords, and He and His teachings are what have rule and reign over all our lives. And as we will sing in just a few short days, He will reign forever and ever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, together all of God's people say,